And good evening, everybody. How are you? This is Jeff Gelman of Solid Canine Training and the wonderful Joelle. Don't forget, we've got a seminar coming up this weekend. If you're going to be in the Chicago area or anywhere within 300 miles, that's the average distance people drive. At least 300 miles. My gosh, people drive 10 hours, so that's sometimes up to 500 miles. It's happening in Chicago this weekend, the 27th and 28th. That's Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 5. It's a fantastic learning experience. You can bring the worst behaved dog you have. You can bring a happy-go-lucky dog, but definitely trainers bring client dogs. If you can get your dog in your car and in a building, don't worry about the dog's behavior. We will dramatically help you. It is life-changing for you and your dog and your family and everybody that comes in contact with the dog, because we work with a lot of serious dogs. It's a great place to learn how to use a remote collar, how to apply a proper punisher. Mostly they're problem solving. Obviously, if you want to learn how to obedience train your dog, I would just say get a green to graduate course, join our community, don't go to the seminar. And then the weekend after that, I'll be in Mantua, New Jersey, which is across the river from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And again, that is another fantastic seminar as well. Those are the only two seminars we'll be doing other than our masterminds till the end of the year. One more reason why people should be joining our community. If you're not part of our community, it is life-changing. The average person that is in our community has gone to two or three other dog trainers, and that's right there, that's almost $2,000, $1,500 to $2,000. And how many hours have you spent? And you've done a lot of consults with people, possibly online courses, and you're still struggling. For under $1,000, you'll never need anything else, because you get a couple thousand dollars in courses. You get 26 live group calls with us. It's live. It's not recorded. These are live group calls. You get with us, and we can help you troubleshoot all your dog training problems. You actually can make incredible progress with your dog. Incredible progress with your dog from anywhere in the world. All righty. So those are the seminars that are up, and this is Jeff and Joelle that are up. Hi, how are you? For everybody on Instagram, we just go through a couple different images before you get to see the stunning Joelle longer than anybody else if you're on Instagram. And we are on Instagram, we are on Rumble, we are on YouTube, and we are on Facebook. We're excited to be here. Share the show, like the show, tell somebody about the show. It's free. We've been doing it for 16 years and changed so many people's lives. This is a Q&A show where you will be typing in your questions on whatever platform you're in. If you're listening to a replay on any of these platforms, we don't answer your questions. And if you're listening to the podcast on any of the podcasting platforms, it's a great listen. We really, really appreciate you. You can just a lot of people do this on road trip. I'm about to take a road trip to Chicago tomorrow. There's a couple of podcasters. I just press play and go through whatever 20 or 30 of their podcasts. All right, Joelle, people will be typing in questions. You'll be reading them. We'll give you the answers. If we don't go on too many rants, we'll stop around 8 o'clock. Every once in a while, I go into a rant because I want to help so many
Every once
people
in a while.
on every show.
Every
And,
show.
well, shows are on Mondays and Fridays, 7 p.m.
So,
Eastern
yeah,
Standard
every
Time.
once
So
in a
that's every
while.
once in a while. Right. So just twice a week. So many people are being lied to, misled, a lot of unethical behavior in this industry, a lot of outright blatant lies. It's so incredible. So incredible. People just saying they're fixing serious problems without force, without punishment, without a correction, with no tools whatsoever. It's like, all right, you're lying somewhere. Sorry, you're just lying somewhere. I don't care how skilled you are. Mother Nature's got more skills than you. There's a certain way to train an obedience command, which we do reward-based, certain way to proof that, which is a combination of reward and punishment. And there's a certain way to stop unwanted behaviors, which step one is always a punisher. That's you need to stop that behavior cold in its tracks. And people are spending a year stopping like leash reactivity, and it's still not gone. And it's just like I do one day seminars on stopping leash reactivity just to put everything in context. Like one day seminars by lunch. 20 dogs are all lying down next to each other. Yeah. And we have full documentation, by the way. we show everything. We literally show the whole process, start to finish, not just a before and after.
But that's the problem out there is, for whatever reason, the longer you take in this industry,
you grow your angel wings that much bigger.
It's like the more glorified it is. Oh, it took me a year to get my dog over its reactivity, but at least I didn't use an aversive.
Right. Yeah, there was a video that I watched yesterday, and I don't put videos like this up because I don't want to. I call out philosophies. I don't call out trainers. I don't think it's professional to do. But it was a little Chihuahua. It was leash reactive, and it was like force free can stop leash reactivity, and it was inside a classroom. So if anybody knows anything about, and it's a trainer, so if anybody can read between the line, and after a year it was better, but still was being leash reactive. If anybody knows anything about anything, when you go to a group class, if you just show up every week and do nothing for a year, your dog will be better. If you literally do nothing, if you just sit in a chair with your dog will stop. It'll just organically stop because it's the same place. It sees the same dogs and it just stops. And for someone to try to glorify that after a year, it's better, but still they have problems, and to use that as your calling card. It's like, you really think that people need to show up minimum 52 times and still struggle? And then this is with a Chihuahua. How about with a Rottweiler? How about with a Pitty? How about with a standard poodle? How about with a Lab?
That's actually aggressive and not just barking.
Yeah, on a leash. Not just barking on a leash. Yeah. It's a great question to ask people that don't believe in punishing, applying a punisher. Just literally ask them this one question. I'm teaching my dog to do a downstay. We teach it with a food lure, by the way. We use food lures. That's what we do. We teach it with a food lure. We teach all of our obedience reward-based. Fully documented. We've got full videos on it. Green to graduate. Okay. Ask them this one question. You're luring the dog, or the dog understands the verbal, and you mark it, and then you reward it. After three reps, on the fourth rep, the dog decides to lunge at your face and bite you. This is not a unusual thing in our world. Almost every dog that we work with is capable, and 50% of the dogs do it. Then what do you do? I would love to know. I would love to know what somebody does. I would really honestly love to know what somebody does in that situation. And any decent dog trainer can know if you're lying or not, because we've all experienced it. That's what people seem to forget. We train reward-based to train what we want. So it's not like we don't know what we're doing. What we have a skill set is the stopping unwanted behaviors. And then we have an additional skill set of stopping a lot of dangerous behaviors. And then we have another skill set that works on the dog's state of mind. There's many different skill sets in dog training. And the whole idea is to be really good at as many of them and be a master of some of them. And then you've got a good dog trainer to work with. And there's a lot of them out there, but they're not reward only and they're not force free. You're limited. Everybody knows that you're limited when you do reward only. They all know that. Next, what do we got?
All right. Paulette on Instagram says, "Hey guys, glad to be here." Hey, Paulette. Alicia, good evening, guys. So happy to hear your voices and loving learning so much.
Awesome.
Thanks for being here.
Love teaching.
We wouldn't have a podcast without you guys. Yeah, so
we love teaching.
Sandy says, good evening, Joelle. I love that sweater. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great sweater. I love that on her. It looks very sexy.
Enjoy the journey dog training. Happy Passover. Oh my God. I don't know how to pronounce any of this, what she just said.
Where are we?
Holly, right here. She's talking another language. Thanks, Holly.
The only word you really need to know is Pesach.
What's that?
In cashier. It's pretty much.
Happy Passover.
Pretty much. In general. Right. Yeah.
Danielle, hi, J&J. Hope you're well. Have two dogs who got in a fight over 4 years ago. I rehab them thanks to lots of structure and training based off your videos and them just existing again. Mm-hmm. Lots of life has happened and their training has fallen off due to me not prioritizing it. Mm-hmm. We are moving in 2 months and I want to build back all their training to mm-hmm. help make the transition smooth. Mm-hmm. Any tips? Plan is to work on basic obedience, mm-hmm. switch to kennels overnight. They currently free roam and keep their routine.
So you really went off the deep end on that one, huh? So yes. So moving is stressful just in general. So if you've been gone a little bit slack, that makes you normal, but moving, now you've got the added thing of moving. Absolutely kennel your dogs at night. Kennel your dogs during the day when you're not home. Kennel is not just for containment. It's a leadership skill. Kenneling a dog is an incredible leadership skill. It's also practical. It's also very, very practical. It's also the safest place for your dogs that especially fight. Start doing your basics, but you should be able to get through that real quick. You're going to get up to accountability real soon. That's what you want to get up to. But yeah, if you do 1 week of just basics, you can get up to your accountability part, meaning holding your dogs accountable for known commands and blowing them off. You can get right up to punishment on that. And then start with good household management. Start pushing the dogs above threshold to see how they're going to respond. Make sure you start stopping all the unwanted behaviors that you don't like, whether it's, you know, rushing doors, barking, whining, rough play, jumping on people. If you don't want the dog on the furniture, getting on the furniture. So definitely just incorporate more structure and leadership. If that's all people did, if you didn't train your dog any obedience commands whatsoever, and if all you did was just put structure into the dog, in a routine, into the dog's world, and rules, you'd have a different world with your dog. You'd have a totally different world with your dog. Once you start teaching your dog, you know, we teach dogs yes and we teach dogs no. Believe it or not, teaching a dog no is more important. It's absolutely no important. Nope, nobody turned in a dog to a shelter because they had to say yes to the dog too much. But people have to turn the dogs into shelters because they're always saying no, or the dog doesn't believe them on their no. You need a dog that where your no is believable, where you don't have to say no anymore to your dog. That's the goal. You don't have to say no anymore. You don't have to micromanage anymore. But at the beginning, of course you do. You know what else you have to micromanage? Your finances, your budget, spending, all in the same umbrella right there. Your diet, what you're putting in your mouth. You've got your exercise, your household. You got to manage all that stuff, your relationships, work-life balance, if you believe in that, your children, what your children do. Welcome to adulting. Oh, I don't want to manage. Oh, you don't want to grow up? Too many rules. You don't want to grow up? Welcome to the rule. You think we have rules? Try going to some other countries. They have a lot more rules than we do. But the United States has a lot of rules. Too many rules. But less rules usually means more chaos. Because why? You're under the assumption that your dog will make the right decision. A lot of times they don't. Eventually, sure, they do. So definitely go back to all the basics, but you don't have to go slow. You can move fast. Next.
Ivy, hello. Thanks for all you do. Working through Green to graduate now. Introduced prong collar to our 17-week-old dog. She acts like she's never heard sit down or place, yep. even though she's been doing these reliably for weeks.
Yep.
Cries and rolls around with the prong. I'm assuming this is a temper tantrum, yep. and it got better when I stuck with it today.
Good.
Would you recommend teaching my 8 and 11-year-old kids to correct with the prong collar since they like to train the puppy too?
No, not yet. Mm-hmm. No. Your 8 and 11-year-old kids can do all the food training still. But so this is not even so just to let you know, Ivy, this is not a prong collar conversation.
Though, I'm confused because her next question says, also when I correct, no, and leash pop, she freezes and acts like she doesn't know what to do. Did you actually teach her leash pressure yet?
Yeah.
Because if you just lured and did all that stuff
yeah.
and then went right to corrections, she probably is yeah. confused.
And there's be careful on your corrections for obedience right now. Just be really, really careful because you have to make sure your dog is fully fluid and fully understands them, fully understands them. Don't rush to that yet. As much as I talk about correcting a dog when it comes to obedience, I don't rush it. I don't rush it at all. Now, unwanted behaviors. Yeah, you don't need to take your time on that. Stopping barking, whining, you can correct that right away. Jumping, nipping, that you can correct. For obedience, though, I'll use food for longer than 17 weeks. After you can start doing variable food rewarding, but I would absolutely not have your children correct the dog. Nope, just have them do all the proactive stuff. Have them do all the proactive stuff. Now you can get your kids to, you can teach your dog not to jump, not to nip, not to bite. Make sure the dog knows a good no, and then the kids can say no for those things. You have to teach them how to say no properly, so they don't do anything emotionally. And that's usually what happens with a lot of adults, but obviously an 8 and 11 year old, they sometimes use too much emotion, and I don't want that. You know, I don't want that type of relationship with the kids and the dog. But a child can eventually correct a dog. Yeah. Next.
Ms. Murphable, part one, recapping the basics with my dog. He was going great on a short line for place, but when I put the long line, he would freeze or throw himself into a down. Tried working him through with body cues, leash pressure, but he was completely resistant and looked lost. I know he knows this because he can do it without a leash or a long line. Do you think he was being resistant because he didn't want to do it, or you think I'm missing something?
Okay, actually, I'm going to finish up with that other, with Ivy, too. The temper tantrum is not a prong collar conversation. It's a leash pressure conversation. That's why Joelle mentioned, make sure the dog understands leash pressure. Dogs do that with martingales, slip leads, and flat buckle collars as well. They'll also do it with a body harness.
They just don't understand the pressure.
They don't understand concept of pressure and leash. Release. Now back to the question that was just asked is, your dog is freezing, possibly because it actually doesn't know what to do. It actually might not understand what to do. You can have a dog, we'll get fully trained dogs in, that when you say down, they fly to a down. You say here, they'll recall to you perfectly. They've done everything without a leash, though. They've been trained with food lures, which is fine if that's what someone wants to do. The problem with that is the dog's never felt leash pressure. And it's almost a disservice for a dog not to feel leash pressure, because that also can translate over to remote collar pressure. It's just pressure. That's all it is pressure. I feel this, now I don't. I feel this, now I don't. So it's possible that your dog is, and then we take those dogs that are rock stars without a leash, we put a leash on them, and just like you said, they like have no idea. They have zero idea what you're talking about. And all it is because the leash is on. So you have to teach the dog what the leash is. I mean, a great example was a couple weeks ago, we sent home Guido, who was a Frenchie puppy. He was only here for 2 weeks, just to learn the basics. He was killing it with his food training, recalling, flying across the room, flying into a down, sending him back to place. Mm-hmm. He was recalling, downing, place, walking great on a leash. So he felt the leash there. We started doing, and then we got to the point where he'd get a little bit tired, and I'm like, I think you can work a little bit longer. Frenchies aren't known to be like the work ethic of a really good employee. They had the work ethic of someone that should have been fired a month ago. And so I put a long line on, because like, okay, well, you know this stuff. And here, he looked at me like he had no idea what I was talking about. And you, a little bit of a leash pop, doesn't know what I'm talking about. I got him to come to me, and then he'd come to me. He always automatically downs. So we train him, which we do a lot of the small dogs, we train recall to down, recall to down, recall to down. He comes to me, he just stands there. Like, what do you mean? What are you doing standing there? Down. He knows down automatically by default, and he knows down verbally. Down. I don't know what you're talking about, Jeff. I know what a down is. Use a little bit of leash pressure. I still don't know what a down is. I take the leash off. I say down, flies to a down. Mm-hmm. And he was trained on a slip lead, by the way. So for a lot of people are like, oh, it's the prong collar. It's like, no, like it's not the prong collar. It's animal behavior. Okay. It's learning theory and it's leash pressure. like most of these conversations, a lot of people will say, well, the dog bit because this is the big one they get is the dog bit because it had this tool on. So do you realize if the dog came to us biting and it never felt the tool until it got to us, the tool actually stops the biting. They have it actually backwards. They actually have it backwards. They don't know how to add. It's like, no, the dog came to us for biting. They came to us wearing a harness. Rue, the Shiba, one of 10,000, not Shibas, but biting dogs that we've worked with. Probably about 7,000 biting, but 10,000 dogs. And the tools help eliminate all these things. People actually think that the tools made the dog aggressive. Like, we're dog trainers. People come to us usually after there's a problem. Again, it's a simple math equation. Here's a problem. Here's someone that can help me. This is going to be the solution. It's not the solution made the problem. So I'm actually baffled because it's all in the narrative of all the posts we put. I'm actually baffled that people, like,
because they don't read. They just see an e-collar.
But it's not that they don't read either. They don't read. They don't. But it's bigger than that. It's like it's common sense. Like, you're on a dog trainer's page.
Right.
I'm not some person.
I set my dog there and they made it
aggressive.
Like, what?
Not once. I don't know of any dog trainer that's ever made a dog aggressive through training. Now, can you train a dog to do bite work? Yeah. That's different, though. But family pet dogs are not becoming aggressive.
Right. They're with us for a reason.
They're with us for a reason.
One thing I do want to add, Murph, is you might have just kept your dog in kindergarten too long.
That's another thing.
If he's doing fine on a short leash, that is an indication that you're probably always helping him,
yes,
or walking him to the place bed.
Yep.
And you haven't actually worked on a send to place from a distance. So you have to work on that.
Yep. And there are green.
So before you even go to a long line, I would say, have you started your e-collar work to get that invisible leash going,
mm-hmm,
so you can start cleaning it up and making a really nice send to place,
yep,
from a distance?
Yep. Just remember, just because, and then there's inside obedience and outside obedience, mm-hmm, because there's environmentals outside. Like, there's, you have to factor all those things in too. Environmentals, distractions. Next.
Cheyenne says, good evening. Rant away, Jeff. He already has. We're already heating up.
I have.
You were just on a rant.
I was.
Oh. You went completely off topic. That's okay. Danielle says, thank you, appreciate it. Also, one has really sensitive skin that breaks skin badly,
yeah,
when wrong, even with little corrections.
Yeah.
Should I rely on e-collar or do you have other?
Yeah, e-collar with sensitive, what are those contacts called?
A comfort pad?
Yeah, thank you. E-collar with comfort pads. Believe it or not, as barbaric as everybody makes the e-collar out to be, it's actually one of the gentlest training tools out there. It actually is. It's so neutral.
It's so new. That is why, yeah, literally, that is the number one reason why we use them with nervous, fearful, skittish dogs. It goes against the narrative.
But it's neutral.
But to them, they would rather us be 3, 4, 5 feet away than reaching in,
yep,
to give them leash guidance.
Yep.
Like, what do, right, you think is going to be less invasive to the dog?
Or even reaching in to deliver a food reward.
Right. Right. Some dogs are like, that's way too, yeah, much pressure.
Like, this concept of sticking your hand out is a great way to
but
get
again,
bit.
But again, everyone, yeah, just cares about their own emotional,
right,
feelings,
right,
and they don't actually take the dog's feeling into, mm, consideration.
Right.
That the dog doesn't want that kind of physical pressure put on it.
Right. Right.
So e-collar is a great tool for those dogs. It's,
right,
neutral.
Let me throw something out there.
Uh-oh.
I look pretty. We do not just a lot of dog trainers just teach obedience. They don't. Unfortunately, they don't do a very good job of teaching the owner. They don't do a lot of owner training. They don't do behavior modification. They don't do state of mind training. Like, dog training is very multi-layered. If you really, really want to get a very well-balanced dog, you need to do obedience training, behavior modification, state of mind, working with a client. Now, let me throw this out there. How many of you out there, put your ego aside, how many of you out there think that you have some unresolved emotional baggage from possible childhood or trauma, even adult trauma in your life that's related to a authority figure in your life or boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife that's unresolved and you haven't worked through that yet. How many of you feel that there might be a possibility that that is what's keeping you from actually holding your dog accountable for their unwanted behavior and keeping you from moving forward? Is there anybody out there that thinks that that could be a possibility? Next.
Okay.
That's how deep I go into dog training with clients. Because I obviously feel that there, that is actually, I'm seeing a huge, because if you really look deep, you really look deep past a lot of stuff. And if you really start diving in to working with clients, you go, this is how deep you can go. And you really, it start revealing why they're struggling. Next.
Let's see. Enjoy the journey, dog training. Says, so grateful for you, all you contribute to the world without wavering.
Thank you. Never stopping. 20 years plus.
Nope. Metal Chicks has said, ooh, therapy session with Jeff. Yeah. The dog training shit does go so much deeper though than.
But, and some people are like, just dog training. And some people are like, oh yeah, it's like I'm a couple therapists. I'm like, that, don't throw out catchwords. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to really, Jeff, what books do you read? Personal growth.
Human behavior.
You don't study animals? Say, I don't really need to know much more about animals. I don't know everything.
But it's like the success of the dog is 100% dependent on the human.
On the human. Yeah, I got the dog thing down. It doesn't mean I know everything. Doesn't mean I'm the best. But I got it down. But the humans are ever evolving. And I like to go deep.
But it's true. Even the small, like, the success of the dog is dependent on the human.
100%.
Because even if, let's say it is a dangerous dog, okay, fine, genetics, whatever.
Right.
Even when management protocols are put in place, yep, there might be a part of the owner that feels bad. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to crate my dog when company comes over.
Right.
I don't want my dog to have to be in a muzzle because of X, Y, or Z reason. So right. Again, the success of the dog is dependent on the human's behavior. Right.
Talk to any dog trainer. They can help their client's dog, sometimes better than they can help their own dog with the same issues. Why? It's not their dog training skills. That so we'll start right there. It's not their dog training skills. There's an emotional wall that's being put up with their own dog that's keeping them from possibly doing what needs to be done to serve the dog properly and deep down inside to serve themselves properly. This stuff goes so deep. And when I started talking about this stuff years ago, it was like, and I still get, and I probably still get lambasted to this day. But that's how much a lot of folks don't truly care about humans. They don't want to see the humans succeed. Of course the dog will do well with them. Good. Can you pass it on? And can you know how to teach the human? That's lacking in this industry, the transfer of success. And you need to know how to transfer that success. And you need to understand people, and you need to understand not just their verbal objections, but their mental objections. And they're not going to tell you their mental objections. You need to be able to figure it out. You need to be able to take their words, and you need to be able to decipher the code into mental objections, because they're not going to tell you them. And then you got to know how to speak to them and give them exercises to help with their mental objections, and they don't even know you're doing it. Next.
B Summers, love you guys. My 7-year-old female Roddy has been dog reactive on the leash and in the car for years now. Feel like I've been underwhelming her with corrections on the e-collar. Should I upgrade to Dogtra?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, Dogtra, just because it goes up to 27 more numbers, they also make, so e-collar technology, the mini educator is the least powerful of their line of it, of e-cowers. So you can go up to the boss. So the boss is going to be more powerful than the Dogtrick 280. It's probably more comparable to the 1900. 1900 is a good cower. So, but also,
it could be a timing issue. It could be so many things.
It could be a timing issue. It could be a fit issue. It could be a lack of accountability issue in other simpler protocols. So the dog that we only take one dog at a time here, Courtney's got 4 to 5 down the street. She's our head trainer. With Simon, who came to us human aggressive, he like run across the room and bite people. By the way, he was out today with, let's see, a family came over today, 3 small kids and 2 adults. They walked in, he didn't make a peep. They knocked on the door, he didn't make a peep. They walked in, he didn't make a peep. He was out with them today, not just wandering around, because none of our dogs, because one of the daughters was really nervous around dogs, not our dogs, but dogs. So our dogs too, obviously. And so all the dogs were just laying down. You know, sometimes we put them away. Another responsible thing to do. It's like, just because we're dog trainers, we put it this way. We had guests to the house today. We put all the dogs away at one point. And our dogs are calm, but we just put them all away. Why? Because you have to be respectful to the guests.
Yeah.
That's why. Next.
Kathy says, good evening. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy, how are you?
Heather, you two are the bomb. You're awesome.
Oh, hey, Heather. You guys are awesome. You're all awesome. Love you.
Kathy said, is the consistency with the training, even when you have little experience with dogs like I was, I simply began following J&J and began doing better with training. It's the accountability structure and leadership that is key.
Yep, it really is. It really is. I mean, people are stressing so much on, that's why I can't stand. It's like people are focusing too much on these catchphrases, like, you know, science-y talk, or geez, was that a negative reinforcer, a positive reinforcer? Mm. Da, da, da. It's like, no, don't go there.
Doesn't matter.
It matters in a way, but it's like, but it doesn't matter. You're right. It doesn't matter. What matters is success. But sciencey talk is not going to fix the dog. A lot of times dog training techniques are not going to fix the dog. It's bigger than that. It's way
That's
bigger
how
than
that.
You
live with your dog.
Yeah, way bigger than that. Yeah, next.
Miss Murphable, he hasn't been on a leash in a while, so I wanted to brush up on his leash work because I want to get off property more this summer, and we'll have to keep him on a leash for the most part.
Yeah.
If I think about it, yep, I was giving him more body cues instead of letting him figure it out, so I'll work on that now that I'm aware of it.
Yep.
Should I be layering e-collar as well, doing long line work, or should I just stay working with the leash so I know 100% he understands what I'm asking?
Do a little bit of leash work first and then switch to e-collar. Here's a great example. I remember this client. I remember him for very, very particular I forgot her name, but I remember the actual client with her German Shepherd dog. They had acreage, and they lived in maybe Coventry, Rhode Island. And this is back when I used to go to people's homes. So this goes back a long time when I used to go to people's homes. And she didn't have her dog on a leash. We did the initial training with the dog on the leash, obviously, and then we off-leash trained the dog. So since she had property, she did everything off-leash because the dog listened to everything off-leash. And then she went on a family trip, took the dog, had to put on a leash because they wanted to go through walks like in city centers, right? And she's like, oh my God, he's terrible on the leash. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, and because dogs are off leash. Our dogs are off leash all the time.
When we first moved here, we had to like reteach some leash skills.
Yeah, because
they were always,
off leash. So Joelle's house up in New England, it's on 180 acres. We did not walk our dogs. We did not take our dogs for a walk. We ran through the woods.
Yeah.
They ran. They ran hard. We swam them and ran them. Or we put them in the truck, drive to the ocean. They'd swim. We drive them to work. They're off leash all the time. We drive them home. They're off leash all the time. So you do that for 2 years. And it's not like they totally forgot how to heal, but they were just like, we don't really heal that much. So we had to go, holy shit, now we live in a neighborhood.
We have to teach them how to like walk on a leash. Ignore other dogs lunging and barking at them.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's no big deal.
No.
It happens. Yeah. Next.
Jay DeConto says, traveling in July, my usual dog sitter is unavailable. How would you evaluate potential dog sitters? Both my dogs have been through solid canine training in Providence and are used to routine and clear e-collar clear expectations. Wish you guys were still in Providence. You're awesome.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's funny. My mom, who's my dad just passed, and my mom just called me tonight. I had to leave, you know, because whenever she calls, I could, you know.
You answer like a good son should.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I talked to her more now because she's by herself. And she's actually taking a trip to see some friends for 2 days, all, you know, by herself. And she has to find someone to watch the dog. Her normal person, she's a pet sitter, is not available. And she asked me about like boarding facilities. I'm like, oh man. Because her dog is like 13 now, a little bit nervous, not great with dogs. And I'm like, oh, geez, mom, like that's a rough one. You know, I would, you know, see if, you know, my brother or my sister can do it, or you can bring them to their house and something like that. But she's like, she's trying everything. I'm like, well, what do you do? It was a hard one. I gave her a couple of suggestions, but what do you do? I would talk to your vet, ask your vet if they know of anybody. And maybe some of the vet techs actually can help.
Where are you? Because they're sick. She's just boarding.
Oh.
Dog's not dangerous, right? Send us a DM.
Yeah.
I think I have somebody.
Yeah, we might have somebody down in North Kingston.
Yeah.
If you're close to North Kingston,
send us a message.
Yeah. And remember, you don't need them to work your dogs.
No, they just need to keep up with the structure.
Keep up with the structure. Eat, potty, and stay safe. Like don't give them a list of things they need to do. Just don't. Like when we travel, we usually bring our dogs, but when we went to Greece last year for 3 weeks, we went, and our next door neighbor took care of our dogs. And we said, you don't have to walk them. So, and this is the middle of the summer, so it's really hard to walk a dog in Florida in the middle of summer anyway. Swim them 5 to 6 times a day. And first thing in the morning, they've got a large backyard where our backyard is filled up with pool and then hardscape. We're like, chuck it once, swim them 5 times. This is what they eat, and this is where they sleep. That's it. They don't have to walk them. Because I'm not worried about our dog's behavior. I'm worried about, God forbid, an off-leash dog, you know, ran at them. I didn't want them to have to deal with that. Next.
Andy Lopez said, oof, with a little fire emoji.
Oh, hey, Andy. Oh, wow. I haven't heard from Andy for a while.
Tracy, hi to my two favorite trainers. We are welcoming a new elk hound pup into our family next month. Solvi, my older one, has successfully gone through puppy program and green to graduate. I'm really looking forward to working through the programs. Thanks for everything you do to help us have fantastic dogs.
Boom. Put him in there. Put him right. Put the new puppy right into the puppy program.
Yep. They did a great job with your other elk hounds because we've seen the videos.
We have we've got a great puppy course, and it's really, really great. And then you go right into green to graduate.
Yeah. She did that with her other dogs.
Yep. And if you join our community, the puppy course is not included in that, is it? No, but the green to graduate 1 and 2 is, you can join our community. It's really great. Yeah, you might want to think about joining the community because help you troubleshoot things.
There's a lot of puppy owners in there.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone has a puppy right now.
It's a great, it's pretty much the only thing you'll need, really. No, if you've got a dog with behavioral issues, if you've got a dog that's new, if you've got a dog that's untrained, if you have a dog that's under-socialized, if you've got a dog that's not good with people, if you have a dog that's not good with dogs, join the community. You will not need anything else. You just won't. You won't have to go to another school, a class. You can just use the courses that are already there, and then you get 26 coaching sessions a year. It's huge. It's actually huge. Yeah. Next.
It's like what our Patreon used to be, but way better.
Oh my God.
Way
better. But on steroids.
Way better.
Way better. Yeah. 10 times better. Way better. Number one, Joelle's involved with it. Number two, the flavor of the
Everyone can talk with each other too. So someone, like, as every day someone's like, I have a question, and like everybody chimes in. They're all so helpful.
Everybody wants to help you,
and you're getting accurate information.
You're not getting false information.
You're not getting bullshit.
And there's no trolls, there's no hate, there's no bullshit. It's a fantastic program. Mm-hmm. We work really.
Courtney's in there, our head trainer. She'll jump in, answers the question.
She just started. Mm-hmm. She just started.
Ms. Murphable said he's great with e-collar and trained on it. You just need to
go back,
start working on a better send to place,
and then just get them, and then just get them back on your e-collar work.
Ivy says, okay, thanks, that may be the issue, I'll take a step back.
It's not but it's not like you got to do weeks to step back. So sometimes it's a day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like, oh, we went a little bit too fast, let's spend an extra day on some basic fundamental. Next.
Nikki said, agreed. J&J do an amazing job at helping and pinpointing where our cracks are and how to best fix them.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, cracks. You always want to find the crack in the training, and then you want to go, I'm going to fill that crack up with some damn good training. Yep. Next.
Caro's Easton says, good evening. I've been training my dog with e-collar for 1 year now because he's least reactive towards other dogs. Mm-hmm. There's no aggression, rather excitement reactivity. Mm-hmm. In the past few months, I've noticed that when I correct him for the trigger, he only becomes more agitated and we can no longer walk past the trigger normally.
Yeah.
He does control himself and does not lash out, but his energy levels are very high. He seems restless. What have I been doing wrong in the past few months?
Well, if the dog was pre 2 year old, pre 1 year old, now it's above 1 year old, but then when we get up to 18 months and then to 2 years, now they're an adult. So it could be an age thing, but also it could be a timing thing. What also could be happening is you might actually be doing some great confidence building, and your dog might be more confident now too, which is not a bad thing. We just have to work through it. But usually we see that as timing. Now, also your levels might not be right. We don't know. That's what's great about our coaching, because people can post videos. It's possible that this is what we do. We'd have to check the timing first, make sure you're getting the loading stage. And your loading stage might be earlier than it used to be, meaning the dog is doing a really good job of not exploding until, like, for longer periods, but you might be catching it too late, even though you think you're catching it at the loading stage. But it might actually, the loading stage might be actually even earlier now, if that makes sense. I know that was a ramble. Usually it's a timing issue. Whenever we see dogs explode at a correction, it's usually always a timing issue. So owners usually say, well, the dog's not giving us any sign, but we always see the sign when we watch the video. And also it's possible that you're underwhelming the dog, which sounds really crazy. It's like, but if I was being underwhelming, why is he exploding so much? Because you're just nagging. It's just like you're nagging the dog. So you have to actually possibly go stronger, which will squash that. So we've got a bunch of different techniques to do. Schedule a one-on-one if you want. If you're not part of our community, community is a great place, because then we can talk back and forth. It's a two-way conversation with our consults. Next.
Kim said they are never going to get it until it happens to them. Hi, guys. Hey, Kim.
Yeah, I mean, but even then, they'll either kill the dog, which is, there's a concept called death before discomfort. Death before discomfort. And it's extremely common in folks that don't believe in correcting a dog. They'd rather kill the dog than correct the dog. They actually believe this to the bottom of their soul. Because I've known, not personally, but I've known people that, like, oh yeah, we put the dog down because we didn't want to correct. They'll admit it. I'm like, damn, that's, your dog's 2 years old and it was just resource guarding and you killed it? Really? We fixed resource guarding in 3 seconds. You just got to correct it. We have a video on it. We have a free video on it. We've got a paid course on it. I mean, it's simple to do. People around the world fix resource guarding with our content. It's not that hard to do at all. It's one of the easier things to do, actually. Stopping resource guarding is easier than training a reliable downstay, frankly. But they'll come up with every excuse in the book. And they'll just live with it until, even if somebody is hurt, they'll still live with it. Next.
Perfect Pack Dog Training said, agreed, dude. Dog training is like the welding industry. Everybody's an expert with 3,000 years of experience, and they know dogs better than everyone else, except the fact that they've never welded or trained a dog before.
Right, right.
I feel like a lot of industries are that way, though.
Yeah. I mean, the internet has created a lot of experts out there.
Yeah.
The thing is, we work with dogs, you know, in person. So, actually, I learned a new welding term the other day. They were talking about a Norwegian cruise ship, and they extended it. They do this with cars too. You know, you split a car and you put more car in there. It's for, like, the long limousines. And so in the description, or somebody made a comment, so like, oh yeah, it's pretty common. It's like, you know, they cut the ship and they add more ship and then they stitch it back up. And someone was made fun of the person. They're like, what do they use, a needle and thread? And it's like, no, stitching. It's a common welding term. So I'll throw out some welding jargon there for you, so we can, you know, we're like this now, right? Next.
Caro's Beeson said, thank you. Explains a lot. I'll try it tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a lot of troubleshooting in what we do. Like, because for we keep in
We
mind
have the whole
leisure activity course.
Leisure activity bundle
Ooh.
where you can get all of them for like one really good
four,
price.
Four courses for one price. That's the thing about what we do.
I think the autoresponder is set up right now. If you DM us the word solutions,
Yeah.
it'll get sent to you.
Yeah. A lot of it is troubleshooting what we do. And that means the first time you do something, it might not work. Okay, we have to troubleshoot that. Try something else. That didn't work. Okay, maybe we can take part of this and part of that and put another set of eyes on it and try something else. Yeah, a lot of it's trial and error sometimes. A lot of stuff is step one, step two, step three. But a lot of it's just like, what's this is how we do it, but the dog might not respond that way. So then we got to try something else. Next.
Cheyenne, I bought a Kerrigan steel Hermsprenger prong for our sensitive
Yeah.
bully. Of
Yep.
course, e-collar is more gentle, but he's had less irritation with the Kerrigan compared to stainless steel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they make the Kerrigan. It's getting up there in price. It was always pricey, but now it's getting really up there in price, even on a wholesale level. The Kerrigan collar's wholesale price is more than the retail price of the non-Kerrigan. Yeah, it's up there. Yeah.
Show tonight, Sid. I almost texted you the other night, Sid, because I'm like, I have not heard from her
Oh
in a
yeah,
long time.
yeah. Tell them horses.
I know, I'm like, she
Keep
must be really
keeps her
busy.
busy. Yeah.
Lewis, can you further explain about dogs being opportunistic, not wanting to please? How does that square with bonding with an owner, or is that a myth too?
So this is a little long conversation. This is the thing. You absolutely can build a great relationship with your dog. Absolutely. Absolutely can build a great relationship with your dog. But if dogs truly wanted to make us happy, why do they eat shit? Why do they do unwanted behaviors after we've told them they know that we don't like it?
Why do they bite their own owners?
Why do they bite their own owners? So being an opportunist is this, is a lot of dogs, we try to get to the dog, and we're usually successful. Not always, though. No dog trainer is always successful at anything. We try to get the dogs to make the right decision on their own without any input from us. But a lot of times you have to give them input. Great example is owners spend a lot of time stopping leash reactivity. The dog, like the owner is communicating to the dog that they don't like the leash reactivity. The dog, though, loves being leash reactive. Just everyone thinks it's fear. Everyone throws the fear card out there. It's usually not fear. It's usually not. A lot of times dogs do things what they interpret as fun that we can't stand. So a lot of times dogs will, okay, here's a great example. Take some raw meat, put it on next to the grill. There's a little grill table. Take some raw meat, put it on there, stand there. Some dogs will take it right when you're there. Right? Leave though. Come back in 5 minutes. Is it there? No, it's not there. Okay, then what do? Yell at your dog usually. You're pissed off. You yell and you scream, throw shit. It was like about $50 for the meat, these days. It was
These
$25.
days, shit's not
The
cheap.
$25 before COVID, it's $50 now. And the dog obviously knows you're upset, but it does it again. And it does it again. We have a way to fix that. We stop that all the time. So you can have everybody has a relationship with their dog. But just because it's a relationship, that doesn't mean it's not toxic. That doesn't mean it's good, but it is a relationship. So dogs do take advantage of a lot of stuff. Riding in a car, dog knows it's supposed to be in a downstay, stop, get out, go in a store, dog sits up. It knows you're not there. It knows you're not there to reprimand it. It knows you're not there to give it, information. So dogs tend to take a lot of opportunities that you don't want them to. If you're in the room, the dog doesn't chase the cat. Sometimes they do, a lot of times they do. But when you leave the room, the dog chases the cat. That's another opportunist. Dogs do a lot of unwanted behaviors and they take advantage of their owners. If they've got an owner that's soft, dogs will be more do more unwanted behaviors than they will with a non-soft owner. Next.
Ivy said, you mentioned in a previous podcast about structured play with dogs. Can you explain that a little bit, please?
It looks different for everybody else. So
we have a socialization course
oops,
too.
Hold on. Hold on, everybody. Hold on. Boom.
What happened? Why did our camera go out?
I don't know. Haven't done that for a while. So we have a socialization courses, we show it. So structured play is this. Around the house, we don't let dogs run around our house. Today, we swam the dogs. We didn't swim them as much as we usually do. We swam them 3 times. We initiated the swimming. Oh, it's time to swim, guys. So we throw a ball in, they get it, they come back out. We stop it. We start it, we stop it. There's structure. Twice, we went to the chuck it spot. It's a field, I don't know, 1 minute away from us. And we drove there. We started the chuck it. We ended the chuck it back home. I usually do a bike ride with my dogs. I have to do it in the early morning. I start, you know, let's go. I determine the distance. Let's go home. So that's the structure of it. That's the structure of it. It's just you, like, pretty much, these are the activities we're going to do today. It's simpler than you think. You might even be doing it already. You go for a walk most likely at almost the same time. We do 3 walks a day, usually around, you know, first thing when we wake up, or then another one at noon maybe, and then if I come home from work for a quick break, or if I'm home all day, and then I'll do another one at night. So you're doing structure anyway. Mm-hmm. You're doing structured activities. Next.
Alicia said, do you find that it's more difficult to teach a new puppy the concept of leash pressure versus teaching a grown dog?
Not necessarily. No, not necessarily
puppies
at all.
Puppies are clean slate.
Yeah, I mean, but both can have hissy fits, and both can be like, oh, I understand. Yeah. But I don't think it's an age thing, not a breed thing. It's just a dog thing. Some dogs are not always open to it, no matter what their age. I mean, probably the worst dog that I worked with was a 8-year-old Weimaraner who never had a collar on its neck ever. It never felt anything on its neck ever. It was 8 years old, very powerful. And that dog didn't understand leash pressure at all. It was like a bucking bronco. I dealt with that that's when I was doing one-on-ones in people's homes. And then the second most challenging dog was a pack of feral dogs, truly feral, not just fearful, but truly feral dogs. They were captured. They were netted. So they were netted in the woods. They're wild dogs. And they were brought to a sanctuary in South Carolina. And I have, this is all on video. So I documented the whole thing. And the video of this dog, actually, crocodile rolling, is, I think, shown in the video. That dog didn't know anything about leash pressure. Nothing. I mean, it's a wild dog. It didn't even know anything about, like, human-dog interaction. Like, you couldn't... I tell the story, you know, the video is pretty informative because I narrate the story about the dog as well. But anytime a human approached its kennel, it ran into its igloo. I mean, it didn't know human interaction. It didn't know human interaction at all. Next.
Dude, Vegan said, why do people who have never trained a dog think they know everything about training dogs?
Well, there's also, how about this? Why do people that have only trained their dog?
Literally, their one dog.
Think they know everything about dogs.
That they've lived with day in and day out.
Or even a little bit farther. Why do people that only train easy dogs and only do obedience know they know think they know about behavior modification? Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of layers to it. Yeah. And you can have a trainer that is a champion trick trainer, champion frisbee, champion agility. That doesn't mean they know about behavior mod.
It goes into like every, I just think the internet's given a lot of people a voice. Because like, okay, dude, Vegan, you're vegan. Like, I'm sure you have it in your world too, with the health nuts and people thinking they know this and that. It's crazy out there.
Yep. Everything is. It's I mean, we can go deep into, I mean, but then there's this whole thing about, like, there are experts out there that know, like, the whole thing with COVID and ivermectin. I personally know, because I've spoken to this family practitioner, that he knew what the solution how to get somebody better, quicker, was he was not allowed to do the procedures, which is just medication, it's run of meds. And also, he had to tout what the hospital was suggesting. Now, some doctors quit. Other ones were like, I can't. I just moved here. I got a family. I got a mortgage. Unfortunately, they, you know, I'm sure, you know, they struggled with it ethically. They really did. So then there's people out there that actually know what they're supposed to do because they do it with their own dogs. They do it with their own dogs. I know this. I know that this I also know is like they'll tout, don't do this. It's bad, but they do it with their own dogs. Now that's unethical. And that's widely, it's a huge issue. A lot of dog trainers do that. They'll yell and scream, don't do that, but they go home and they do it themselves with their own dogs. Next.
Heather says, my husband walked in and heard your voice and said, hi, Jeff. Clearly, I listen to you guys often.
Hello, husband.
Jeff says.
Don't ever say that to your husband.
Kathy's probably listening right now. Like I say that all the time.
Husbands don't want to hear.
Jeff says.
Husbands don't want to hear. Jeff said. Trust me on this one. No husband ever would like. Oh really? Oh. Then it must be right.
Constance is probably like, yeah, my husband. It's too. Like
right. She's probably going.
All our regulars on here.
He's going right through his phone. Like, what's that lawyer's name?
This Gelman guy.
Yeah, that's right.
There's Constance now. I swear I'm a poster child for today's rant. I got a lump in my throat while you were talking. It's so true. If you're a mess, your dogs are a mess. Just ask me how I know.
Well,
hold it right there, sister.
But it goes deeper than even being a mess, too.
Yeah.
It goes deep. Yeah. Constance, turn that into a clip. Mm. Both parts. There's two parts to it. Turn it into a clip. Yep. Next.
Harry Potter says, oh my God, who the honor? Harry Potter is on our show.
Holy shit. Last week, JK was on the show. Damn.
And we've had Mother Mary.
That's true. Yep. We get a lot of Jesus's too.
All right. Harry Potter says, hey, Jeff and Joelle, my husband and I are getting a Doberman puppy.
Nice.
When can my puppy play with other dogs? Do I have to wait for him to be fully vaccinated?
So this is the big... This is the big question. Definitely, usually they go through the first round of shots. The vet's going to say, don't be around any other dogs until at least, you know, second round or how many, depends on how many rounds of shots you get. This is the thing. If you were just to go to like a random dog park, I would say, please don't do that. If you were going to a puppy play group, I'd be like, do you guys ask for vet records? Like, do you screen the dogs that are here? That could be a better bet. If you've got friends with the other dogs and you can actually tell them, like, are your dogs, you know, vaccinated? Are your dogs safe? Yes. The chances of your dogs getting rabies or parvo, and I'm not stupid, dogs get parvo, but it's usually transmitted a lot of times. They come with parvo. They get it in a shelter. But the reason why the shelter has it is because they probably got a litter from somewhere, you know, so... The chances of your dog catching something deadly. Now, could it? Sure. So I'm not going to be held responsible for that. All right. But compared to how important it is to socialize your dog, I'm going to pick socialization. So if I was to get a puppy right now and I got its first round of shots, at 8 weeks old, I would start taking it everywhere.
You can hold it too. You don't have to put it on the ground.
So what's more important?
Put it in a carriage.
Puppy interaction, you don't need to necessarily do that right away.
Right now,
exposure to environmentals is probably more important than anything else.
People, get it.
All kinds of people, sights, sounds, smells, surfaces.
Our puppy course covers this extensively too.
Yeah. So I'd get it. Jump on our puppy course.
We show like how we let people greet the dog. We talk about when to cut off the meetings because at some point,
you got to stop it. Because you also don't want a dog that's like,
oh my God, a human.
Overly, and then they end up dragging you to say hi. There's a lot of dogs that are leash reactive are just excited to see people. Mm-hmm. Probably the most intense leash reactive dog I ever worked with, probably because it was the strongest, was a Rottweiler. And it went to daycare every day, but it got so excited, it dragged its owner across the front lawn. She fell over. It literally, you know, have you seen the cartoon? Like, it literally, it dragged her.
Like skiing on the
ground. Yeah, exactly. So, at some point, you have to teach the dog to ignore people. But right now, get it, you know, expose it to a lot of stuff. And then when can you start introducing it to puppies? You know, I mean, 10 weeks old, 11 weeks old, believe it or not. But again, who are these puppies?
Who are these puppies?
Are they safe? Mm-hmm. Are they ganging up on your dog? So there's a lot of different things. Like, get the puppy course. Get the puppy course. Go to Solid Canine Academy. We got a puppy course. Join our community. It's a game changer. It's the only training you'll ever need. You won't have to go to a trainer. You actually will not have to go to a trainer. You don't have to enroll in, you know, a training program. You'll learn everything you need from our community. Next.
What's this? I'm cracking up. Oh. Jeanie just wanted to say hello. Keep learning and watching. My Husky Shepherd Cross was the first time today able to run off leash while I drove the Gator.
Nice.
Way faster than the Gator, and it made me feel so warm and happy to see her loving the off leash life.
Wait, the dog attached the Gator?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's great.
Off leash with the e-collar on for a safety net.
Good for you. Don't make an excuse for having an e-collar on your off leash dog. Do not do that. No.
Watch your dog run full sprint like that.
Like, listen, untrained dogs, you can put as many e-collars on them you want, and they're not going to listen to you. Like, this is what people have to understand. It's you're smart. What you're saying is you're smart. That's what you're saying. But when you have a dog that can run next to a UTV or your Gator or a four-wheeler, it is one of the best things. On Joelle's acreage up in New England, I had an ATV for a little bit of time, and I would take the pack out there running through the woods. And I can usually not overtake them because it was a little really really winding. They had way more control than I did. But when I would get to the field, you know, the big open field there, I'd freaking gun it, and freaking dogs would
so cool.
They would be chasing. Oh, it was a beautiful sight, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sight. Oh.
Doing what dogs do.
Yeah, I loved it. Next.
Sid said, "Evening J&J. Thanks for thinking of me." He said,
"Yep, you're welcome."
Brian says, "Hi, must a dog be put under for teeth cleaning?"
So,
depends.
All depends on how well your dog is.
Wes has never had a cleaning, but he's on raw.
So there's a lot of information out there that talks about, I'm not a vet, I'm not a medical professional at all. I'm not one to give out vet advice or medical advice, but my dogs have never had their teeth cleaned. And their teeth are not disgusting. They raw. So, next.
Cheyenne said, "Yep, Kurgan ain't cheap, LOL."
Yep.
Sid said, "Combination of busy, house remodel, work, learning new phone, finally got a good one."
That's good.
After like good. Five that didn't work for her. Let's see.
Sid's like, "Oh yeah, I was able to train 10 horses, still trying to figure out this phone."
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Joyful Canine. Let's see. "My client's dog killed their cat on Saturday." Mm. "They decided not to continue with crating." Yeah, management fail. "Against my advice."
Yep.
Yada yada. She said, "No point to that. Just upset." Like,
yeah. So this is the thing. It's like, first of all, it's not. Don't take it personally. I mean, it's hard. It's not human for me to say that to you. But it's like, from a business standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, be really, really careful about like a lot of that stuff, because it's like, it, you know, is it, it's a terrible that the cat died? Yes. Is it terrible that the dog killed another animal? Yes. But, you know, you told them to kennel the dog most likely because it's bad with the cat. So when no one's around, you kennel your dog at night. You kennel your dog. Dogs kill cats. It's just the way it is. Cats kill mice.
Yeah.
It's the way it is. So if you got a pet mouse, you gotta be careful. Pet rat, you gotta be careful. Next.
Purely Balanced Canine said, "Yep, my shelter is going in that direction and it breaks my heart. I fixed many of their dogs, and their new force-free trainer just recommended the first dog they worked with be drugged, and 2 weeks later recommended euthanasia."
Right. Mm-hmm. So this is the thing. It's disgusting.
It really is.
It is disgusting. It is so disgusting. When I was up in Rhode Island for 20 years, I saved so many dogs' lives. I kept so many dogs out of shelters. Shelters couldn't stand me. They had no interest in all. People would always ask me, do you work with local shelters? I'm like, no, I don't work with local shelters. They're not interested. They're not interested in any of my information. I once went into one shelter, and that's where that dog named, what's that silver dog that we made the video that a lot of people find me from?
Brick?
It's a pity. Brick. I worked with a dog named Brick on the request of a existing client who got their dog from that shelter. And would go to the, you know, some people go to shelters every week to look at the dogs. They saw this dog and it was about to be killed. And I went to the, and I was like, oh man, in the shelter that was at, I'm like, oh man, they hate me. And they've actually said some nasty stuff about me online, like right online. And I got no problem at all. I'll walk in, I'm not like, nothing, you know, I'll walk into the valley of death. I don't give a shit. I'm like, they're not fans of mine. Just letting you know. They're like, well, no, they know it's you. They, you know, I insisted that you come in and look at this dog. I made a video on this dog. It's a video. It's anybody can see it. It's right out there. It's one good
is
thing.
Is that the how to walk in 5 minutes?
No, or a different one? No, it's a different one. It's with Brick. It could be Brick.
I think it's called like Brick.
It could be called Brick. Anyway, so I walked in and I just showed the shelter staff how to keep a dog from rushing out of a kennel, how to walk a dog. And I'm like, this dog is safe. This dog is not dangerous. Big, huge, block-headed pity, you know. So I was there for about an hour.
Aggressive dog, rehab shelter dog, yeah.
Yep. And so then I left and I put out a video like the next day because I didn't edit a lot back then. I didn't have Joelle.
Didn't you get him adopted out and stuff too?
Within 24 hours, someone I knew from my gym adopted that dog, Matt. He adopted that dog. And right after I left, the executive director of the shelter said, whatever Jeff just told you, don't listen to a thing he said. So what they like to do is they loved opening up. Imagine a shelter with a bunch of out of control dogs. They loved opening up all the kennel doors at once, or like one after another, because they love to watch all the dogs run outside. Well, obviously recommended not to do that. And what do you know? The next day they did it. And guess whose dog got mauled? Her dog. So, and then the dog that mauled her dog, guess what they did to that dog? They killed it. So I went in there and I saved a dog's life. And they told them, don't listen to me, and she's responsible for the injury of her own dog and the death of another dog. And I can repeat that story thousands of times. I've been into many shelters, but just the advice. So that dog probably is no longer alive. 2 years ago, I think it might have been, though. But it was old. That dog lived its best life. Hiking, had its own little backpack, canoeing. Great life it had. Really active owner. Had a really active owner. Fantastic life. And they were going to kill it. Any decent trainer can share all those stories with you. And all these shelters that are getting all these force-free and reward-only trainers, you're not helping any. You're not helping these dogs get adopted. You're a disservice. And the board of directors on all these shelters, you're a bunch of wimps. You're a bunch of wimps. You don't have a spine in you. You can't stand up for these dogs. What's best for these dogs? You're stuck in some ideology. Well, next.
Look at you in this video. You're such like a baby. Young buck Jeff. 10 years ago already, this video of Brick.
He might be alive then.
He might be probably 12 or 13 now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Back in the day. Next.
OG. Let's see. Red Constance is already. Kathy's cracking up too. Jeff says, Harry Potter said, thank you. We did get the puppy course. Okay. And Karina graduated.
Okay.
We weren't sure about vaccines. Oh. Thank you.
Yeah, so you're coming out, you're starting the process. You're probably ready for it. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, listen, I'm not anti-vax, but it's like your dog has got its first round. Like theoretically, like again, I'm not a vet. But if you didn't do your research from people way smarter than me, which isn't hard to find, they'll tell you you can stop. The problem is, like the state, like in the state of Rhode Island, Uma, one of my dogs, they finally went from a 1 year rabies shot to a 3 year rabies shot for the longest time. The reason why they don't is because of the drug companies, the drug cartels, which is Big Farm. And this is how important it is for folks to understand. This is back when they just went to a 3 year. As long as you got it done when it was due, they can give you the 3 year. Mm-hmm. But if you missed it, they give you the 1 year.
Yeah.
So I was 1 day late.
Yep.
I was 1 day late with Uma. So let's just say the 20th is when I had to get it done. But for some weird reason, I didn't come until the 21st. The 20th, I would have gotten a 3 year vaccine. The shot that they put in her, the meds that they put in her would have been good for 3 years. But since I came a day late, it was good for 1 year. And I asked the vet, if I came in yesterday, would you give her the exact same shot? Literally the exact same shot, same day dosage, same meds.
Yes.
Yes, I would. So because I was a day late, technically 12 hours late, right? Because I could have come in at, you know, 7 p.m. instead of 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. Because I did that, because the clock hit midnight and I turned into a fucking pumpkin. I left my goddamn shoe somewhere.
Oh my God.
My dog is only good for 1 year on this vaccine. Yep. Okay. There you go. Big Farm. Next.
It's 8:15.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. I'm on a lot of rants tonight.
All right.
See you all on Friday.
Okie doke.
All of our coaching members. We'll see you Wednesday.
Yep. I'll be on the road. Coach you from the road.
Oh shit, that's right.
I can do it from the road. I'll be stopped.
Okay.
I should be. I don't know. I gotta be doing 500-600 mile days. Mm-hmm. So, but take care, everybody. Madly in love with you.
Love you guys.
Check out Sally Canine Academy. You'll love it. Join the community. You'll love it. Love it. More of this on the